Now on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville, it's time for the only area radio show devoted exclusively to football. That is to say, soccer.
Local, MLS, Premier League, and international.
It's Blokes on the Bench, and you can reach us at 434-284-9470 or at facebook.com/blokesonthebench. Now here's your host, Andy Richardson.
All right, Charlottesville, welcome along to an edition of Blokes on the Bench. First off, I want to thank everyone that came out to Cardinal Hall today.
Josh for having us at Cardinal.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Before we go any further, it was just announced about 45 minutes ago that Borussia Dortmund fired their manager. I know the rumors were kind of going around for the last few days. But Peter, is it Bosz?
Bosz. I think it's Bosz.
And then it's been replaced now with, and I'm going to pass it over to Christian. He may have a little more knowledge than I do about it.
I forget the gentleman's name, but he was managing Cologne before he was let go. So
they're Cologne, in the same situation as like the Premier League.
Cologne was on the bottom of the table. I think they still are. So Dortmund haven't won a match since September, end of September. They're in seventh place now, or eighth place, so they're not even in a European Championship Cup race. It's not gotten... It's very ugly there right now.
Oof.
Supporters were leaving the match before the end.
And they just left their chief scout to Arsenal.
Bosz should have just stayed at Ajax. I was sad that he left Ajax, and now he can't go back.
Yep.
So,
yep.
All right, so let's move on to the first game, West Ham versus Chelsea. I don't know what Moyes had said to the lads before they out on the pitch, but come on.
Please, woo! Please.
That was a good game. But I have to be honest, much the same way as Newcastle found out last week, I kind of thought, you know, you get one past Chelsea early, you're kind of waking up the sleeping giant. But I was pleasantly surprised at this one. Everyone was talking. They were pretty much, it was inevitable they were going to move into third spot. And
West Ham had other ideas.
Mm-hmm.
Nice goal by Arnautovic.
Lanzini with the assist.
That's right.
Yeah, came off a corner.
And Arnautovic finally on the score sheet there at West Ham.
Is that really his first goal?
Yeah, it
is. That's crazy
that
we're in December and this is their big signing and he's only just now getting on the score sheet.
Well, and then he had came off at the 60th minute, 65th. He was subbed off also. So,
that was an odd substitution. I thought at the time that, and maybe it was because he was beat, tired, whatever, that they went a little more defensive. It was an interesting time for the change. Chelsea really dominated the match, though. They had 70% of the ball throughout the match, and they had 19 shots in total, only two on goal, and none in the second half. So really odd. Chelsea dominate but have no answer, and really this loss chases them out of the top two challenge, like Andy said, that they had been ordained to be in the top two or top three spots, and now it's chase on.
For later, but name the one team in the top five going into this week that didn't drop points.
Mm. Yeah, the two Spurs. Smug Spurs.
No, Spurs was sixth going into this week.
Not in the top five going into this week.
We're gonna have to sort this, posse in the corner here of City fans.
Yeah, the noisy neighbors down here. Yeah,
it's getting bluer and bluer.
Yeah, you should have heard Christian last week, though. It's such a sad thing to be a Man City fan. I mean, we should all be very so sorry for your billions in oil that you use on throwing away on defenders.
Yeah, that's an old argument now. Really, I mean, other clubs have kind of. In fact, well, Chelsea were the first, really.
Look, don't hate Spurs wants to be there. That's part of having the stadium.
I'd love to be that way.
Give me the money.
Show me the money.
Don't worry. You won't get it.
Yeah, the only thing you're getting is a Wahlburgers in your new stadium, so be happy about that.
With Spurs, the new stadium will certainly bring them more revenue, but...
You're going to have to sell players.
It'll bring them new owners because Spurs are owned by a private equity company, and they're inevitably going to sell. That's what private equity companies do. Yeah. They try and make money. And you know what? After you build the arguably the best stadium in England, maybe even Europe from a fan's perspective, that's a good time to sell it.
Whoa. The problem Spurs are going to have is
best
I think the same problem that West Ham had. But the Bowling Ground was a fortress, much like White Hart Lane. And what happens is you bring all you get a new stadium. Suddenly, everything's about sweets and kind of, you know, basically the prawn shop. Sandwich brigade move in.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I hear you. That's you the know. Concern.
A lot
that
of
I
tourists
have.
Will be coming through that ground yeah, if yeah. they weren't already.
I'm, right. I'm not a big tourist fan kind of guy, but
oh, really,
apart from the band, they're not bad. all right, so let's move on to Spurs versus Stoke.
Feels like we've been talking about Spurs for the last 10 minutes.
Well, that's
ahead.
What we try and do is we try to make awful. This an all Spurs kind of show, and occasionally we talk.
Let's make
about
it
some
all
other
about
clubs.
Me.
Yes. No, this was a blast from the past. It seems like Spurs haven't done some of this in the league. Obviously, they've been playing well in the Champions League, but in the English Premier League, this is the first time it seems like in a while, really since the Liverpool game, that they've really took a team out to task and just thoroughly dominated them. The first half wasn't necessarily a huge kind of score line at the end. It was 1-0.
To be honest, you guys should have been 3-0.
And we should have been up 3-0, yeah. I mean, Kane missed a chance, and I'm trying to remember who the other guy was that missed one. I mean, there were some... Oh, Son missed one. Yeah, that was pretty obvious. And then, yeah, man. I mean, like, the first goal was what Shawcross had, the own goal, where Son crossed it in. And I thought Shawcross was kind of unlucky with Zuma kind of taps the ball, like it's basically a ball in, and he it deflects off Zuma and then into Shawcross. He really had no chance. Kane missed one, and then yeah, Dele put the ball in through in the second half for Son to score number two. Davis gets the cross in for Kane to shoot to score one right below the jumping goalie for like an almost like a nutmeg kind of thing. Kane again with a cross in to Trippier to Son, which is then pushed back to Kane and goal. I mean, and then Lamella back on again, and he scores number five. I mean, it was a dominant display. Sure, Stoke got one back, but it was about as nice as you see Spurs play.
So here's my thing. It was an excellent performance by Spurs. I would love to put to bed the Stoke mythology. Like the Stoke... Like, look, here's the thing. I understand that, you know... The location of that stadium makes it wet and cold and windy and terrible. But like the whole every single time one of the top five goes to Stoke, it's always like, well, can they get a win at Stoke on a Wednesday? You know, everybody brings up Stoke on a Wednesday night, and City went there and dismantled Stoke. Spurs have gone there and dismantled them.
That was in
it's
West
Arsenal's
Wembley.
Problem.
Yeah, this was in.
That was in.
Oh,
Wembley.
This
that
was okay.
Wembley.
This was in.
But
Wembley.
No, but
okay.
I think that the key that I would say is like everyone says that the Stoke defense is so rock solid.
Right.
But they have the most goals against with 35 on the year. The only team that's even close is West Ham, who have given up 32. That's really, I think, the myth that you need to break down, which is that rock solid defense is there. It isn't. They have the most goals scored against in the league, and they're just not very good right now.
I'm not sure where that myth comes from. I do get Daniel's point, although this match did occur in London. Stoke don't really scare anybody these days. They're capable of playing beautiful football when they want to, but when they get up against a superior opponent like Spurs or Manchester City, they seem to get taken apart. This was Spurs' fourth consecutive win against Stoke by at least four goals, and I think that might be the first time that's happened. I could be wrong about that, but the results are still very positive for Spurs. This has turned into quite a bogey team for Stoke. They don't have much to offer, but Mr. Kane... congratulations, 50th goal in the year 2017. Guy keeps going. He's a real machine.
Right. Back in form as well, mm-hmm. which is important for you guys.
How many will he score in Russia?
I don't know.
A lot.
Hopefully.
If you're an England supporter, you want it to be at least five or six, something like that, because that means they go deep in the tournament, right. And he's scoring about a goal a game.
Don't forget, guys, you're tuning into Blokes on the Bench here on 94.7. You can get in contact with us, 4342894470. And don't forget to check out our Twitter page, BOTB Soccer. We have a poll running right now for the next hour. So, with Manchester City obviously winning today, is that the title race over? And we have one vote so far, as it's just gone up, and 100% says yes.
I need to go vote.
Is that Alex that voted?
In voting.
No,
awesome.
I'm going to vote right now.
All right, so we need to move. Well, we don't need to move on. Well, we could hang around if you want to talk more Spurs.
I'm sure we'll talk more Spurs regardless.
I think we've talked enough Spurs already.
Says the Arsenal
we're
fan.
We're only 10 minutes in. I feel like we should continue.
I will be debuting a new Spurs song here soon. Keep on the lookout for it.
Okay, awesome. All right, so Swansea versus West Bromwich. Boney getting on the score sheet.
Again.
Late. Real late.
Really?
Yeah, rocket. Smashed it right in. It was off a corner kick, and then the header kind of came off, and he kind of just smashed it.
Yeah, Abraham, the guy on loan from Chelsea goes in, kind of header. It's weird. It kind of comes off someone, and then it just lays off right to in the perfect spot for Boney to just mash it in. It was a lot of power. Nice goal. Real late. I mean, that's exactly what Swansea needed in a six-pointer against West Brom. Both teams are fighting to not go down. Swansea right now are in 19th spot with 12 points after the win. Newcastle in 16th with 15. So I'm sorry, not Newcastle. Sorry, West Brom with 13. That's a big win for Swansea in terms of them staying up.
I mean, I know the result today was good, this weekend. But how is Paul Clement still in a job? I don't understand. He must be looking at himself in the mirror going, everybody else is dropping like flies, and I'm sitting here with a job still with one of the worst records going, well, at least I got a job still.
Well, I mean, they went through that whole thing last year where they had Bob Bradley for a little while. I mean, maybe they're just trying to not have a revolving door. I don't know.
Right, right.
And not only did they, yeah, exactly. So they had three managers last year.
Last year, right.
So it wasn't just Bob Bradley. Bob Bradley was the man in the middle there of all of them. And, yeah, I think that I don't think it's time to make a move. I mean, I think it's more on the players at this point. I mean, sure, you can mix it up just to mix it up if you want to, but Swansea are playing decent. They're right in it. None of the teams that are in the bottom three are necessarily guaranteed to go down at this point.
Right.
Mm. I mean, if you look at the numbers, there's a lot of teams that are down there it's 11 points, 12 points, two teams with 13, then 15, 16. There's a good number of teams that can be in that drop zone. So just because you're sitting pretty in the teens doesn't mean necessarily that you're going to be, you're safe. So I think there's plenty of time for other teams to drop. West Brom, Newcastle, Stoke, any of those teams can go down if things turn against them.
I mean, it's funny that we say that it's so early in the season for the relegation zone, but yet we're talking about the title race being over.
Yeah, the relegation battle is going to be more interesting than the top.
Right. You said that a few weeks back.
And Champions League spots will be more competitive as well, but the drop does have multiple teams. However, I think Swansea are still good to drop this year. They don't seem to have the quality. This is a big win for them, obviously. This was a true six-pointer to help their cause, and it probably gives Mr. Clement another week, another 2 weeks in the role.
All right, so Huddersfield versus Brighton.
This was the first top-flight match between the two clubs. So welcome to the big show, boys.
Welcome to the show.
I'm a little worried for Brighton now. I thought, a couple weeks ago, I thought Brighton would be fine. You know, they would end up, somewhere 15th, something like that, 14th, 13th, somewhere in that neighborhood. This is the type of thing where they have to stop this. They have to stop the bleeding. Because as matches start coming thick and fast, if they keep dropping the 3 points every week, they're going to find themselves in that relegation battle very quickly, and that could be tough.
Well, that's exactly what I'm talking about. Right now, Brighton seem to be in great shape with 17 points, 6 points clear of the bottom place, and it seems good. But the thing is that this is a long season, and if you continue to have the string of results that they have, exactly, just a couple of games, and all of a sudden they're going to be right there in that drop zone. I think if you're a Brighton fan, you have to be pleased with the start of the season, but you also have to be worried about where things are going. Huddersfield is right next to them as well, with 18 points as well. Huddersfield were fourth at one time, and now they've come crashing back to reality.
And the thing that would concern me as if I were a Brighton supporter is that they're not scoring. It's one thing to be dropping points like 3-2, 2-1, 2-2 draws, stuff like that. But when you're, because then it's just, okay, we can fix the back line. When you're not scoring, it's tough. I mean, because, where are you going to find it from? And, now that you're in the Premier League, it's going to be tougher. They're really going to have to get on it fast.
Brighton have not scored much. It's true. But Brighton have actually scored more than Huddersfield. 14 goals for Brighton, 11 for Huddersfield. Huddersfield still with the extra point.
And Monier scores 2 goals in this match for Huddersfield, so there's 2 of their 11 scored in the season. He had a really nice match, and this is a great result for the Terriers.
But the thing with Huddersfield is when they're playing at home, and we've seen it, we saw it against the two Manchester clubs, they can turn it on. And it's mainly to do with, I think, the fan base.
Crowd is incredible. The support there is incredible.
And it's not, I don't think it's a hit of the clubs. I just think that obviously Manchester United and Manchester City draw big crowds to games. And of course, They're going to be right behind Huddersfield, of course, so, you know.
And then to have a newly promoted side come to your stadium, you're definitely going to be dug in to win that match, and I think having great support like that at home helped get this result for them this weekend.
Right. All right, so let's move on. Crystal Palace versus Bournemouth.
Oof.
2-2.
Oof.
Yikes.
What an end to this game.
Very, very tough.
Zaha goes down in the box. Benteke takes the PK. And that's one of the worst PKs I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, one of the worst.
He hits it low to his left, and with no power, no accuracy, easy save. The announcers seemed to jinx him as they were talking about it. It was amazing.
Maybe the announcers could have scored the goal.
I think the announcers could very well have done better on a PK than that.
Did you say he took the PK?
Benteke.
For Crystal Palace?
Yeah.
No, it was Milankovic.
No, like in the 95th minute, 94th minute.
The missed penalty. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
There was a penalty earlier in the match.
Right.
Scott Dan scored. He was brought on early in the first half. But I guess the man of the match was Jermaine Defoe with two goals.
And that second goal of his was world-class, Van Basten style. That was amazing.
His 200th career goal, 189 in the Premier League. So he's... got to go down in the Premier League history books as one of the best strikers to ever play.
Except he played for Spurs, so
that's
not going to happen.
He also played for Toronto FC, who congratulations to them for winning the MLS Cup this weekend.
I don't know. If people don't remember, it was Defoe for Altidore, basically, was the swap.
Mm-hmm.
And what did Altidore do this week? Oh, that's right.
He won the
MLS Cup.
That's what I just
said.
He
did.
Yeah, I wasn't really paying attention.
That's
sorry.
Okay. Not many people were.
I watched it. I did watch it.
I forgot it was on. A 4 o'clock start.
I saw some headlines where it was like, well, Jozy Altidore and Michael Bradley, does this redeem USA not making the World Cup? And I'm like, why is this a headline? Like, why is this a headline? It's awful.
First cup for a Canadian club, right?
Yep.
Toronto
did the Canadian domestic treble because they won the Canadian Cup and they won the MLS Cup and what was their third one? I forget. It was the first domestic treble in Canadian history.
The thing, Mark, you mentioned about U.S. soccer. Now, I'm not sure how true this is because it was on Twitter, which is the playground of the idiot.
I've not heard Twitter described that way.
Wait a second.
Hope Solo has put in candidacy for president of U.S. soccer, which I find... I mean, it's just...
That's not
well,
going
she had
anywhere.
That whole incident where...
The DUI?
Domestic abuse as well.
Yeah.
Domestic abuse. Those go hand in hand. DUI, domestic abuse. Like, it may have even happened in the same night.
Yeah.
Would have been a lot cooler if it did.
Okay, I'm not advocating that at all.
No. Scott Dan gets his fourth goal in a row against the same team, Bournemouth. It's the first time a defender's ever done that. It was actually an interesting game, I thought.
Well, we've all agreed that if Crystal Palace are on TV, put it on because you're going to see goals and you're going to see late
goals. And it's amazing. They always have the game that ends last. Mm-hmm. And so all the other games end and you end up flipping over and it's still going. And there's
chaos!
And there's always some theater there. Someone's going on. Zaha's doing something. This time Zaha goes down and then the penalty that just we spoke about earlier, that was just horrible.
Palace also announced this week that they are rehabilitating their grounds to make it a lot more modern and the greatest stadium in all of Europe for their supporters, as somebody else on the show. They still have their cheerleaders.
That'll be an impressive stadium in the championship.
Mm-hmm. I still hold the Palace are going to make it through this year. I don't know how long that's going to last, but I still think they can make it through. A point against Bournemouth, I'm sure they're happy with the result.
And they
deserve better.
The architecture of the new stadium is like all glass on the outside, and the idea is we want it to look like the Crystal Palace.
Crystal Palace, yeah.
Well, like the original Crystal Palace, right?
Exactly.
All right, so the next game, Burnley. I don't know why I keep saying Burnley. It just sounds like it goes with that accent. It probably doesn't. Burnley versus Watford.
At Turf Moor, again, a ground that you go into and you don't come out with 3 points or a point.
This was one that I was really interested in. Two teams that are kind of those that people weren't necessarily expecting to be fighting for that like top six, seven kind of club. I mean, they're kind of taking over Everton's spot, both of these teams. It was unfortunate, the red card that Ziegler got. I think that's probably the big talking point of whether that was a red or not. He went, came in two-footed. It when I saw it live, the first thing I said was, "Ooh, that you know, like you don't know what the ref's going to be saying here, so you never know."
All right, guys, the time is 6:20. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back. You were saying, Alex, before I interrupted you.
Yeah, yeah. So the big question was whether or not that tackle by Ziegler was a red card, came in two-footed. Really debatable on whether or not it was a red card. It seems semi-harsh by the letter of the law. It probably is a red. But when you look at it, there really wasn't much in it, and there was no injury or anything. I don't know.
This one falls into the same category as the penalty in the Merseyside Derby today. Don't make an official have to make a decision on a play like that. Don't put yourself in that situation. That challenge was awful. Like, and again, like you said, it's not like there's a lot in it.
If you describe it, it sounds a lot worse than it really looked.
Right, but it's one of those things where, like, it's not like it. Like you said, it's not like there's a lot in it, but you're giving the opportunity for an official to give you a red card there. Like, just don't give them that opportunity.
I think you guys are missing the main point in this match. It snowed. That was so nice
to
see.
It
snowed there. It snowed here in town.
Yeah,
it snowed
really
in the
great games.
Nothing today,
like watching
on
football in the snow. And for the FIFA players out there, it always makes me laugh. Martin Tyler, when there is snow in a FIFA match, he'll say, "The snow is snowing." And I'm like, "The snow is snowing." That must be an English term. I've not heard that before.
No.
What else does snow do? It snows, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that was something that was coming into this weekend. And I was, I mean,
they were calling for a lot of eight inches
of snow in Manchester today. That never happened, obviously.
Obviously, we only got a snapshot of the game. We don't know if it snowed after that. I think it was meant to start around about 4 p.m. UK time and run through about 9 a.m. the next day. So, I mean, it could be snowing now. But.
I don't know. I got to drive over Afton Mountain in the snow on Saturday. That's always fun.
Woo. There you go. No, but I thought that Goodmunson for Burnley had another good game. This is a guy that if you're looking for a sneaky player to get on your fantasy team, he's a good guy, Icelandic player that's kind of come semi out of nowhere. I didn't know who he was before the beginning of the year. He had a nice free kick. Gomez with possibly the save of the weekend on a really nice free kick that Goodmunson had. Ben Arfield got the goal off a cross from Goodmunson, of course, and that put Watford up 1-0, Burnley up 1-0. I thought Watford did a commendable job of keeping it just 1-0 through the rest of the match, because that red card was pretty early in the game. I mean, if you hear that the red card happened in what was the 39th minute, you've got to defend more than half of the game, down a man. You would expect there to be more goals. Watford not necessarily happy losing the game, but at least they were put in a strong performance, even down to 10. Yeah,
right. And it doesn't really. I mean, it obviously affects Watford in the fact that they don't get 3 points, but they've been punching above their weight this season anyway.
Yeah. So right now, Watford in ninth place, not as high up as they were previously with 22 points. Burnley 5 points. 6 points ahead of them with now 28. Which is level with Spurs and one off the pace of Arsenal, two off the pace of Liverpool.
Well, there you go. Okay, so the next game was Newcastle versus Leicester. And I do have to say, before we get to this game, the owner of the club is obviously talking about him selling to Amanda Staveley for $300 million.
The owner of Newcastle.
Yeah, right. the Newcastle's owner.
Yeah, they want
Mike Ashley.
He wants $350. She's saying $250. They think they'll settle at $3 will be the eventual number.
Nah, it's going to be about $350 because I think the first offer was for $300.
Exactly, the first offer is for $300.
And which is like in business terms is usually you turn it down the first offer anyway.
That'd be awesome.
But apparently midweek, Mike took Amanda out for a curry, and had a discussion.
A nice date, yeah.
Yeah, Mike Ashley always looks like he's been out in the town. He comes out, when you see him in the stands, he's got, the tie scruffed off to the side. Like he's been drinking some Newcastle brown ale or something. Just got out of bed and, his bedroom's up in the stands.
Yeah. Let me tell you, if I owned a club, I'd have a bedroom at the ground. That way I could wake up, don't even have to go anywhere. Don't need to worry about traffic, problem solved.
The thing I thought
about after the game for you.
If you think about franchise and club values around the world, right, 300 million. I mean, my initial reaction was 300 million seems rather inexpensive for a club like Newcastle. Right. I mean, to me, it does. I don't know what the value of Premier League clubs are. But
Alex is on the computer looking it up right now.
He can look
he
it up.
On it.
But I agree with you that I think it's an undervalued asset, but there's so much expenditure that comes with owning a club that I think that there's a lot of people who turn away from having to take on the commitment. It's not quite that American owner situation like we have, where there's so much control and there's guarantee. True. You are taking risk ultimately in going down. Granted, there are parachute payments to help you if you do go down, but there's risk, and not everybody's got 300 million sitting around or 350 or whatever it takes. I often think that too when I hear organizations being bought here in the States or stadiums being built here. I'm like, why not just buy a Premier League side or buy a championship side and build them up and then move them on? There's a great documentary that was on Netflix for years about QPR.
Four-year deal or whatever it was.
Yeah, it was really interesting to see what these owners, who were really ruthless, would fire managers left and right to get where they wanted. But they did achieve their goal and took QPR, who, granted, they're a London club, but it's a very small stadium, to say the least, and seems like a small club. Brought them up to the Premier League and kept them around for a little while and then sold them on. So I don't know. I agree with you. I would buy a Premier League squad before I'd buy a Major League Baseball team.
Well, and especially Newcastle. I mean, they have fantastic support. I mean, their supporters
St. James's Park.
St. James's. They have it right. They have a great stadium. They have great support. They could own Northeast England. I mean, you know,
hindsight.
I don't know. I just thought it seemed like a good deal to me. I don't have 300 million laying around, so
the town shuts down when Newcastle play. And I think what we can get out of this conversation is none of us have 300 million, as we've all kind of confessed. So,
which is why we're all sitting in here.
I'm going to Cancun, but I don't have 300 million.
I wonder if like Amanda makes a good offer, Mike will be like, "Why I like?"
Sorry, that's terrible.
That was bad.
So what happened in this match?
Well, here's the thing, wasn't it 100 and? What was the anniversary? 150 years,
Something like that? Right, of Newcastle.
Yeah,
yes, right. It was their founding day. Right, 150.
Right, and they got thumped 3-2. So, yeah. Happy birthday to you.
So, does Benitez stick around with this project, or is he?
I think this all like depends on the sale. He's wanted to jump ship for a while, so
The sale is going to dictate whether or not.
That's what I think. I think if the club is sold, I think he is more likely to stay.
Right, and before January.
Right.
Because I think he needs to buy players in January.
Yeah, he's come out and said that he needs players come January. Alan Pardue said that he has the ability to spend money in January for West Brom, and David Moyes says he has the ability to spend money for West Ham. Would you let any of these managers spend your money? I mean, Rafa Benitez has some pedigree to him, but giving money to these guys just seems like chasing a bad bet. Down and down and down and down. Ultimately, you have to get better players so you can survive. But this is where having a program director, to me, is far more important than having a middling manager like that.
Party is kind of like your friend that you go to the casino with, and you're like, hey, buddy, did like playing blackjack? Like, nope, stop. Stop.
Yeah,
that's exactly
how I feel about Moyes. Like, if Moyes comes, he's like,
don't hit
man,
again.
Can I borrow
Stop
50
it.
Bucks? Like, and you're like, what do you need this for?
Yeah.
Like, wait a second. I'll pay you back, man. I'm good for it.
You know, it's funny we talk about, I mentioned earlier on about the Twitter being the playground of the idiots. We are actually on Twitter. So I kind of shot myself in the foot there. But I did have a poll question up for Newcastle fans. Should Mike Ashley sell the club before the January window? And it's 50-50.
What?
Wait, 50-50.
They have to sell it.
No, we know Mike Ashley has a Twitter account and voted.
Set up.
No. Yeah. Right. Exactly.
Thanks, Mike Ashley, for the support.
And then, of course, the other question is, with City winning today, is the title race over? And out in 80% say yes. And that's our Twitter page, BOTB Soccer.
But yeah, I mean, I think this is a good time to talk about that new... So the deal that they just came out with for 2019 and beyond. Ugh. For the Premier League, lots more games to be played
on Saturday
yep. nights yep. and night games. And, you know, we're talking about the value of clubs, and this is exactly where the value of these clubs comes from, is these TV deals. This one is going to be for a record, what is it, like $5 billion or something like
that? If you're looking at the chart that floated around earlier this week of the Premier League, broadcast rights, the initial contract was like 19 million or something like that back in 1992, which obviously, you know, times have changed. But even recently, even in the late 90s, it was still an underrated asset. Once they went global with it, the costs just go through the roof, and it's not showing any signs of deterrence.
Is the bubble going to burst on this?
No. If you look at it for what's happening in the U.S., honestly, they're only catching up at this point. And this is more of a global sport than it is for the NFL.
Right.
I see these TV contracts continuing to go up and up, because what happens is this is just the English deal that just happened that's way up. But then the U.S. deal where NBC got the rights just a few years ago was much, much bigger. China, you know, every single country will be vying for these rights every year.
And the reason why the Premier League has done an excellent job of ensuring that the money from the deals actually improves the league.
Right.
In these other leagues, I mean, you know, Madrid can go and negotiate their own TV rights, and Barcelona can do their own. So even if they're making a ton of money, the rest of the clubs in La Liga aren't. And it affects, you know, the balance of the league. Now, in the Premier League, they're making bank, and they're dividing it among the teams so that all these teams can be better. And it's just going to get, the gap is going to get bigger.
You say that. So the thing is, though, that the top six, seven clubs that we all support all also tried to have a semi-mutiny and change the dynamics where they were trying to increase the percentage that the top clubs get, because everyone knows you're turning in
greedy
for United and Arsenal and Spurs and all them. They're not turning it, showing up for Brighton, you know, these newly promoted squads. So they're saying we should get more money.
Well, that's why I do think the rumor of the whole, like, competitor for the Champions League, I do think that could happen. You know, where you end up with the big 10 biggest clubs in Europe
in a super league.
Yeah. Right.
Right. What I was going to say, though, is like in terms of the soccer fans in the UK, not everyone, in fact, I don't think it's a lot of people actually have BT Sports.
Right.
I was looking at the figures, right? For an average pub in the UK to be able to show the games on their TV, £17,000 a year.
A year?
It's just crazy.
Wow.
How much is that in dollars? That's just ridiculous.
I mean, 22, 23.
Something, again, getting back to that chart showing the value of these broadcast rights going up year by year. There is a blip where they equal out over the course of two contracts, which fell in line with the global economic crisis. So I'm curious, with getting these contracts in place now before Brexit fully goes through, if this was something to get ahead of that, how Brexit will affect that, because there are some labor laws that are at question right now with players coming into the Premier League and how much that will affect them. While I only really care about what happens on the pitch, unfortunately, money will come into play on some of these issues.
Yep.
I mean, I don't see Brexit really affecting the Premier League. There'll be some interesting things when it comes to number of players on the field that politicians may try and put on or something like that. But when it comes down to the economics, I don't see the England economy really taking a big hit. And I see the value of the Premier League continuing to rise.
I just like how we've turned this into a soccernomics conversation.
There's a reading assignment right there. Everyone should have to read soccernomics.
Actually, I think I have that book.
That's a brilliant book.
It anyway, we haven't actually talked about the game we're meant to be talking about.
That's my point.
Over here from Virginia Tech.
So Newcastle versus Leicester.
What do I do?
3-2 to Leicester.
Damari Gray scores again.
And Mahrez.
That Mahrez goal was pretty soft, right? That was a pretty soft goal. That was right through the goalie's hands.
Are we sure it's Mahrez and not maybe like his brother? Because that haircut, I don't know. I think it could be somebody like his doppelganger showed up and took over.
Yeah, I thought Gale had a great game for Newcastle, though. He assisted the first goal, and he scores the second one. Harry Maguire, unfortunate on that second one, had a kind of calamity of events there. There's a corner kick which came out. He heads it, and kind of his head gets a little... He hits his head, I think, clash of heads with someone else, and then after that, he's kind of stunned, goes after the guy that he was supposed to be guarding, overruns it, then he comes crashing back, and it comes off his shin and in. And I mean, it was just a tough event, set of events for Maguire. But
and
then
Perez.
ultimately, Perez gets the own goal to lose it for Leicester. But if it wasn't Perez, it would have been Okazaki scoring the winner. Kind of sad for Okazaki not getting the winner there. He made a nice play in the midfield to hold it up, and then it was then that a pass that went to Albright and then up to Vardy.
He works hard for the team.
Okazaki is the hardest.
I was going to do that. You beat me.
What?
He's the hardest working man at Leicester, that's for sure. I bet you.
I would say in the Prem.
I would be very interested to look at number of miles, kilometers run
covered.
per minute on the pitch. And I bet you he's up there.
Mm. All right, so Southampton versus Arsenal. I'll pass it over to Mark.
We got enough time for this? Okay.
Come on, baby girl.
Well,
come on, blood.
Alex's password and login didn't work, so I ended up shabbing at about 8, and they had to let me through the side door. And I'm looking at my phone, and I'm like, man, we already conceded a goal in the third minute. Mertesacker's the reason that we drop points here. He
you
did not
drop
play
points.
For Arsenal.
You earned a point today. You did not drop points today.
I can't wait to see
fair
Arsenal
enough.
Fan TV.
Fair enough. All right. Either way, Mertesacker should not play in any other games, like maybe League Cup games.
Mertesacker has already signed up to be a coach for Arsenal next year. It really is
That's
crazy.
That's fine. Be a coach. Just don't go on the pitch.
Yeah, please do be a coach. That'd be awesome.
But
hopefully the whole back line will be as bad.
Wenger and Mertesacker coaching?
Hey,
those
Steve,
are some long
Steve
jackets.
Bold's a good coach.
Long jackets.
At least I think so.
But Mertesacker definitely was at fault for the first goal. If you saw it, he crossed it out, got rid of the ball out directly to the defender.
He tried to get rid of the ball.
It didn't happen. Right to the Southampton man, who then passes it right back to the guy that Mertesacker was guarding, and then Mertesacker promptly falls over. and it gives him basically a chance to give a run in for Charlie Austin, who puts
Charlie
it away.
Charlie Austin.
And Charlie Austin's in a great form right now. I don't know what the numbers are, but it's something like 4 goals in 4 games or something like that.
Three
Does he
and
make
third.
The England squad?
Ooh, I don't know about that. I think you'll have
Probably
to keep
not.
It up, but unlikely, I would say.
So
from
what
a
about
talent perspective, he's
maybe
just
in
there.
A pinch. Maybe you take him on the plane. So
what about Wilshere? Jack Wilshere.
Oh,
Does
my
he make the England
playing
squad?
Great. He has to. Like, did you see his performance on Thursday against Bate?
No, I don't watch football on Thursday.
Funny. Ha, 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 ha. Yeah, why don't you talk to Alex about that? They've been playing Europa League for years.
I do want to give Arsenal a lot of credit here. This was a real hangover match for them coming off of the United match. So they could have fallen apart and giving up
and
that
a Thursday Europa League.
Thursday
game,
Europa and then give up an early goal on the road at St. Mary's. But this was the 10th point clawed back for Arsenal in the Premier League this year out of a losing position, which ties Manchester City. So there's real grit there on the Arsenal side.
I'd like to hear your all's views on this. So, should Lacazette be starting these matches, or should Giroud be starting these matches? Does it depend on the match?
I would vote Lacazette starting Giroud come on as he did and as he scored, because that's what he does.
I think
he's
that's
so good
the
at
right
it.
Dynamic.
Exactly.
I just wanted
to... Well, Giroud and his ability, his prowess with the head, I mean, that's a great time to bring on someone that has that
But how long
prowess.
Is he going to play second fiddle?
Well, and Mark, what is your opinion? You asked the question, but what's your opinion?
That's a good question. I think that
you
it
asked
depends.
It. You asked
I know, I did. I did.
How
and I've
this?
Thought about
we'll,
this.
We'll answer that one right
Stop
after the break.
Stop it, Spurs.
Right?
Yeah.
Right,
do you want to do the break?
Back.
Do you want to do the
well,
cut the break? Alex,
no,
seriously, go on, Alex.
Well done.
Smooth.
Come on,
go
baby
on.
Girl.
We'll answer that one right after the break. Thank you. And welcome back, folks.
Well, there you go.
So
awesome,
I'm surprised the Spurs fan didn't lead me into this. So I think there's two ways to skin a cat here. And it depends on what team you're playing. There are certain teams, I think, you know, your more physical teams that Giroud should probably start up top. Start the match. He has become a super sub, right? So everyone's always like, oh, he like pulls us out of a pinch and he scores the goal to equalize or a winner, you know, like.
Nobody
like
can
that
see
game,
you moving your hands on the
that
radio.
That game against United last year. Where we had like zero possession, and then suddenly Giroud gets a goal, and it's a draw.
Mark,
how do you have zero possession?
Wait,
does the goalkeeper just hold on to the ball and just
Mark,
be like,
what is your answer? Is Giroud the starter, or is Lacazette the starter?
I actually think you start Giroud.
Okay, let's move
because
on.
To you get, because you get the goal, and then maybe you get two goals. Stop it. And then you bring Lacazette on when the legs are tired.
Gaffer.
Because he never plays 90 minutes. So it's like, what's going on with that?
Gaffer, can we move on to Derby Day, please?
One more thing, though. One more thing about
that
Arsenal.
That was dismissive.
Sanchez is out, right? In the summer or...
Yes.
Sanchez. No, sell him in January.
Ozil, so are they going to go after Draxler, or what's going on there? Do you know?
I don't know who
got Draxler
last year. Yeah.
We should have gotten Draxler 5 years ago when we first started talking about it.
Nobody wants to play for Arsene Wenger.
Well, I think the question legitimately for a lot of players is, will he be there? And so if you're going to go into a squad where you don't know who's going to be the manager in a year or two, I think that's legit.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. I agree. All right, so yeah, Derby Day.
Derby Day.
I don't know what that was. That was completely... Nobody planned that.
Let's not do that again.
As it sounded like nobody planned either. All right, so we don't have a Liverpool fan in here. So I guess anybody want to start with this one?
Well, we watched this all together. It's our first match as blokes on the bench, most of us there together. Sorry that Daniel wasn't there with us. But
that's all right. I did see the first half, though.
It was nice to have everybody together. Liverpool absolutely dominate possession in the first half.
But not the scoreline.
Well, they don't dominate the scoreline, but it was just I felt bad for the Everton supporter who was joined there with us because they had no stake in that match for the first 45 minutes and were really lucky to only be down 1-0.
I think the biggest talking point in this match, and Alex is pulling up Jurgen Klopp, whatever, how does Philip Coutinho not start?
Because Philip Coutinho is not going to be playing for Liverpool in 2018-19.
You think he goes
gone.
In January?
He gone?
I don't think he's going to go in January because of the World Cup, and I think the money's not going to be right at this time, but I think that Liverpool are as good as they are with Coutinho as they are without Coutinho.
Why is that?
Because they have...
Because Mane.
Because
I mean,
they have
Salah.
Sadio Mane, and they have the best player in the Premier League right now. I can't even say it without laughing, but it's true. Salah is the best player. I mean, the guy just can't stop scoring and influencing matches. It's a joy to watch someone express themselves so well on the pitch like Salah has for this.
So you're saying positionally, Coutinho doesn't have to be in that lineup.
No, because he plays in a midfield slot that he can influence, of course, because he's a class player. But the wings are what are dominating that club right now, and that he doesn't fit. And honestly, if I'm FSG, I'm looking at what Barca wanted to give us for Coutinho and say, we can buy three other players with him and have money left over. Like,
hey, they could buy a backline.
Well, they could buy a central defensive midfielder, which they are sorely lacking,
yeah,
and obviously center backs, which they just don't have. So there's so much potential for what Liverpool can do, but this match was just a total gut punch.
Well, it's funny you bring up center backs. So here's the thing. That's the biggest talking point of this match. Lovren, I mean, is that a penalty?
Alex, please take this conversation on, because you made such a great point as we were watching this match. I thought you were right on.
I thought that it was a semi-weak penalty. I think Lovren was not smart at all to put his hands on his back.
Exactly.
And put the official in a place to make a decision. This is exactly what Daniel said earlier on the announcer.
Well,
but if you look at what happened, and there's obviously 100 angles to this, and maybe one of the five or six that I saw, it looked as though maybe there's contact. And you know what? That's the only view that the referee had. He extended his arm, and it was just so stupid because he's going away from the goal. There is no real shot of him to really score. And so it was just a really poor move by Lovren. And Lovren, we saw Harry Kane make him look silly. Lovren, I think, is not a Premier League quality. Maybe he's Premier League quality if you want to be in the bottom half. But he is not very good, and he should not be playing for Liverpool anymore. And so it's surprising that he played in the first place. But if you watch the game, I mean, Everton did a really good job because, I mean, Salah opened it up with a nice goal with his left foot, which kind of looked reminiscent of one of his goals from about a week or two ago.
He's doing that a lot now.
Yeah, exactly. And then Mane absolutely blows a chance earlier where he should have.
He should have passed it.
I don't know why you hold on to a should have. The guy scores goals, and honestly, I have no problem with a guy who can score goals taking a shot, even if it's at the expense of other players.
But he had two wide-open players.
He did. He totally did. I'm not saying he didn't. I just don't have any problem with it.
This guy isn't Cristiano Ronaldo, and even if Cristiano goes crazy and he takes on one himself, it's still selfish. It's still selfish when you have two players wide open.
All these guys are selfish in some form or fashion.
Well, they all have bonus contracts.
I think another thing to talk about in this match was the interview after the match, which I hope everybody got to see with Jurgen Klopp, because it is a classic. He absolutely gives it to the interviewer about the penalty. He doesn't care what anybody basically thinks. He speaks his mind, so it's very interesting. A couple of the supporters and I were talking during the match about how Klopp's facial expressions during the match are just hilarious, and he's
always... You think
always,
he chugged a beer before that interview?
Maybe something a little stronger, maybe a little Jaeger, but I don't know.
You got to figure, though, if you're Jurgen Klopp, like, I get it, you got to defend your guy, but that kind of stuff has to drive him nuts. Like, that, I mean, because... It's that little bit, that little tiny bit of lack of discipline. And I mean, you can blame it on the ref if you want, whatever, but it doesn't have to be that way. As we've just talked about, there's no reason for Lovren to do that. There's just no reason for it to even be a decision.
Yeah, but I think in his defense, you always want your players to play to the whistle and play their hardest. And yeah, maybe that was a bonehead play, but you know, Lovren was just trying to do his job and he just made a poor decision. So Klopp, you know, he can't really police that.
So yeah, are Liverpool a top four side at this point? I mean, we've seen them drop some serious points. This was 2 points lost today, without a doubt. I give a lot of credit to Everton for taking the amount of abuse they took throughout this match and getting clawing back that point with Rooney's penalty kick. But I don't rate Liverpool as a top four side.
Well, they are top four, and Salah's scoring goals.
Yeah,
and that's what's saving them up,
right now.
You know.
Yeah, I mean,
but how long is that going to last?
Yeah, you would think that Salah's going to dip at some point.
As long as his...
And yeah, you hope he doesn't get injured, because that really is the team.
If he keeps this level of form for the rest of the season, he's going to break every record ever.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, I think it's reasonable to say he's not going to continue this way. But to me, the big thing here is this was at Anfield.
Yep.
To drop those 2 points the way they did at Anfield is not a good look.
Isn't this a reoccurring theme, a broken record for Liverpool?
Right, and that's my point. Yeah, that's my point.
Points when they should win.
Teams at home. And Klopp said it in the lead-up to the game. He said, these are two excellent teams. It's a derby game. The difference is that this game's at Anfield, and we have to show them why that matters.
And
no, they did not.
And speaking of Salah and returning to the mean, this was his 19th goal in across all competitions. That's 24 matches. That's the same amount of goals he scored at Roma last year. So you'd have to assume that at some
point...
That's
like a striker's work rate, too.
He's going to slow down because it's just human nature that he would, but... These are big points dropped for Liverpool today, no doubt.
But let's look at where Everton are now. They're in the top half of the table. They're 10th. I mean, this is crazy. Just a couple weeks ago, they were
dead and gone.
Yeah, I mean,
3 weeks ago.
Crazy. They changed their manager.
Big Sam.
You get a couple wins, and all of a sudden, you're in the top half of the table. That's what's happening right now in the league.
That shows
the English national team should not have fired Big Sam, because based on what he keeps doing, like, they probably would have won the World Cup with him. Like, this is the most bizarre thing ever. The man simply walks in the front door, and teams are... like transformed. He's not changing players. There's nothing. It's just the results are different.
Yeah,
it's weird.
Let's be honest. He will transform a team from mediocrity to be semi-decent, but he's not taking them. He's not going to win the league.
He's not going to win any
cups. He's not going to win.
The international scene's different. You know, I mean.
So you really think Big Sam is going to win a World Cup?
He's never going to get an international
England's
job.
Is going to win a World Cup? No, I don't think it. Depends on any of the managers.
He's not going to get
it. The Ireland job might not
It's been since 1966, and they won on a decision, basically.
He's going to keep Everton up,
England
I think, is what we can all agree on.
Yeah, he'll keep Everton up against all odds, is what's going to happen.
You want to make a bet, baby girl?
Can we move on? Because there's one big match that we need to talk
about. I
think
we need to put a poll up. Who will win the World Cup sooner, England or the United States of America?
All right, you work on that poll. Let's talk about the next match.
Go ahead.
Wow, I've never been in this seat before, so let's
no,
go.
No, you're not. No, of course
let's
not.
Let's go 30 miles to the east.
Andy's being shy.
To the Manchester Derby, which is a huge result. I'm going to turn it over to Daniel, who I wish I could have watched this match with today.
I know. Sorry I couldn't be there, fellas.
Everything's well.
Thanks, man. I really appreciate it. My family appreciates it. So, obviously, this is a huge win. I mean, it's a huge win. It was an interesting game. It was as tight as I expected it to be. I didn't think it was going to be, you know, 4-3 or anything like that. The one thing that I didn't like... Okay, so I'm very happy that City won. The one thing I didn't like, and I hope I don't see again, because I've seen... He's done it now 2 or 3 times, is Pep sits Aguero in favor of Gabriel Jesus and then moves Jesus out to the left and flips Sané to the right and lets Sterling roam the middle, and like it's a mess and nothing happens and Sané's on the wrong foot and like it's just weird. Then we go to the second half.
That's where Germany plays him though.
Yeah, but like he's killing it down the left wing, and then we flip him, and then it's awkward, and then we go to the second half, and he puts everybody back where they're supposed to be, and we're good again.
To counter what you're saying, Raheem Sterling, according to Pep Guardiola, can be a number 9. He rates him as a number 9. Maybe it's a Pep number 9. I don't know, and I think it's weird too. He deployed Jesus out wide early in the match, and Sterling started playing down the middle. He seems to think, in the case when Aguero was hurt last year, that Sterling was going to be the one that could pick up the work when Jesus wasn't available.
Now, let me preface this. I am not comparing Sterling to Messi. However, if
it sounds like you're comparing Sterling to Messi to me.
Sterling is not Lionel Messi. However, I can kind of see where Sterling possesses some of the qualities where he could be a false 9, maybe, but he's not an out-and-out striker. But, I mean, I'm sitting here in a... You know, I'm sitting here with you guys, and he's Pep Guardiola.
Yeah, I think what we played was essentially a false 9, that Jesus drops back anyway, and I like what we did. I mean, obviously it worked. Unfortunately, we have another injury problem with Vincent Kompany, and after the match, Pep said he can't depend on him anymore. So our buying of a central defender is going to occur this January, come hell or high water. This was a huge, huge victory for Manchester City. This essentially puts them in an entirely different atmosphere than the rest of the Premier League. Now 11 points clear. This is 14 consecutive wins in the top flight, which ties some ancient record that somebody achieved a million years ago. Arsenal did it across 2 seasons back in 2002, but City are the first team to do it in a season since 1891, I believe. So this is... mission accomplished. I'm shocked that we were able to go in there. I expected a 1-1 draw. Mourinho did exactly what Mourinho was going to do: soak up the pressure, let City have the majority of possession, which we did, and we played the way we wanted to play. We expressed ourselves the way we wanted to express ourselves. We scored on set pieces, which Manchester City do not do. We found ways to score goals in ways we don't score goals. So. Is it title chase over? It's beginning to look like that. I'm beginning to feel like maybe this is ours and maybe this is that special year. But there was some controversy.
You
after
don't need violin music. We can just play. Well, yeah. Let the tape roll breath, as maybe. He keeps talking. All right, take a nap and wake up in about
if Manchester
30
City,
seconds, too. Go on.
If Manchester City buy another defender, their defense spending will be larger than North Korea's for this year.
But it'll be worth it.
That's a great joke. But anyway, Ederson.
Let's talk about. We'll get to what you want to say. The goals, those that are scored in the game, I thought that they were not really up to the quality of the match coming in.
Jeez.
I thought that all the goals were dirty.
Dirty. What is dirty? He just means terrible, not pretty goals.
They weren't pretty. Like, yeah. It wasn't a display of the
Let's be honest.
The
goal is a goal. It doesn't really matter.
Exactly.
Where it's
there's no pictures in the scoreboard.
I agree with that. But at the same time,
goals were scored by defensive error. No doubt about it.
Exactly. Yeah. That's exactly what I'm trying to say. It wasn't like beautiful soccer. And can we get Daniel to say Fabian Delph?
This was the first.
That wasn't his fault.
First game where it was like Fabian, my dude. What are you doing? Regressing back to where you were? Come on, man. Not in this match. You can't do that in this match.
We're all due one bad day, and this was definitely Fabian Delph's bad day. There was a... and Andy, we got to talk. You need to talk here. You're the United supporter. What did you think?
I thought we played like the away side.
Totally agree. Totally agree.
I don't... I know that we can sometimes put a player down after 2 or 3 games and say they're out of form and sell them. But there's definitely something going on with Lukaku.
Ooh.
He cannot even play his goal. I mean, that shot...
So again, wait, do you want to sell him?
Let's not take anything away Edison's save. But that's a goal that you should be, that is a shot that you should be able to put away.
He did what De Gea did against Arsenal.
Exactly.
Last
and I'm, like I said, I'm not putting anything away against Ederson, but that should have been a goal. If that had been Rashford, that would have been a completely different story. I just don't think he's clinical enough. The second goal came off an error where he tried to clear it.
Both goals occurred off Lukaku kicks for City.
Errors too.
When Herrera came into the squad, right? I liked Herrera. This whole fouling, falling down, acting like a five-year-old is getting old real quick.
He has to get suspended for that dive today.
Sanchez gave him a bunch of lip last week.
Mata should have been played from the start.
What's your name?
Lingard, I never thought... You have Fabian Delph? I have Lingard. I never thought I would say keep Lingard on. Lingard should have stayed on, should have taken off Lukaku and left Zlatan on with him.
So there was a dust-up after the match was over. The City players were celebrating quite loudly in the locker room, playing music and singing and being
no
excited.
Doubt Oasis.
Probably Noel Gallagher was probably drinking Noel. Champagne with them.
Champagne supernova, baby. And Mr. Mourinho showed
acoustic
up
version.
At the locker room of Manchester City and asked them to show respect and to turn the music and screaming down. And Ederson took some exception to it, some bottles were thrown at Mr. Mourinho, and some milk was apparently spilled on him. So milk. I'm sure
not a pizza thrown at him, like
sure
you know.
Yeah. Well, that's drank, a classic right there with Vieira and Keane. I'm sure we're not done hearing the end of Mr. Mourinho whinging about Manchester City.
It's getting tiring too.
Pathetic that he's going to go to the opponent's team locker room to tell him to keep it down.
His comments after the game were just unbecoming.
Very quickly.
He was probably waiting for his red wine to open up.
During the week, City are making some documentary with Amazon Prime.
Yeah, and United wouldn't let him in.
Yeah. Which
I'm sorry, I didn't. What was that?
They wouldn't let United refused some City organization who are making a movie for Amazon Prime. They refused them access to the locker room.
Right, they wouldn't let City's camera crew in.
But I mean, if you're Pep, would you want a camera crew around when your team's trying to focus on a derby game?
You do if you want to buy a central defender come January.
I mean, these players have cameras around them all the time. If they can't handle that, like
in the locker room, in the locker room,
it's a lot different in Europe.
It's way different in Europe than the United States.
You have a recording of every locker room speech in the last 10 years in the NFL. In Europe, you don't see that because they do not let camera guys in there. Simple as that.
That Amazon special is going to pay for Cellini come January.
All right, with that, we must leave it. Don't forget, we have midweek games. Mark. Sorry. Right. You finished? Awesome. All right, guys, we have midweek games coming up, so we have a lot to get through. We have a 90-minute show next Sunday, so join us for that. I'm Andy.
Alex.
Mark.
Daniel.
Christian.
Have a great week, guys.
You've been listening to Blokes on the Bench with your host, Andy Richardson, on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville. Join us again next Sunday at 6 for another edition and feed us back at facebook.com/blokesonthebench.